O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. For he is our maker. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
Let us now turn in the front of our hymnals to page 144 and read together responsively Psalm 100, the Thanksgiving Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Know ye that the Lord, He is God.
It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of our pasture.
Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise.
Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name.
For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Alleluia. Your devout attention is now directed to the reading of the epistle lesson appointed for this Thanksgiving Day, which we find recorded in the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 through verse 8 as follows. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. a teacher of the Gentiles in truth and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Thus far, the Thanksgiving Epistle lesson. Hear now also the Holy Gospel appointed for Thanksgiving Day, which we find recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, reading from verse 11 through verse 19 as follows. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thus far the Holy Gospel. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation on this Thanksgiving Day is recorded in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, reading in verse 15 the following words. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our bounteous Lord and merciful Savior, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. In spite of pockets of depression and poverty here and there throughout our country, for example, in the backwoods of Appalachia, in rural areas of the Deep South, and in the blighted slums of our big cities especially. And aside from the ravages of chronic unemployment and the rising rate of homelessness that have struck down many of our countrymen, depriving them of even the most basic necessities of life, this land of ours is still one of the most prosperous and affluent, if not the richest country in the whole world. Americans, according to world statistics, own more homes, more automobiles, more boats, more cell phones, and computers per capita than any other people. Almost every home has a television set, or perhaps two or three, and most have other sophisticated electronic devices as well. Modern conveniences, we call them. Although we rely upon them day by day in our life here in this world. And yet, many Eastern Europeans, Asians, Africans, South Americans, and others would consider such things luxuries still today. Brethren, we have microwave ovens. We have automatic dishwashers. We don't have to wash them by hand. We have compact disc and DVD players, PlayStations, laptops, smart phones, iPods and iPads. Americans, on average, are better nourished, better clothed, better housed, and yes, better teched than anyone else on the face of the whole earth. And they have more disposable income for purely recreational pursuits than do the citizens of any other industrialized nation on the face of the whole earth. Now consider indeed what you and I have and use on a daily basis compared to our impoverished brethren in Nigeria and Russia, who cry out to us for help, who are quite literally, in the words of the Apostle James in the second chapter of his epistle, who are literally destitute of daily food, and who are dying every day of common illnesses like diabetes, hypertension, and malaria, treatable with common medications which you and I can pick up at the corner drugstore, but they cannot afford to buy. One would think, therefore, that the people of this prosperous country of ours would also be aware of their many blessings and be grateful to God for the bounty he has bestowed upon them. But sad to say, that is generally not the case. For most people not only take their daily bread and all of their temporal blessings for granted, most actually expect to have their many comforts, amenities, and luxuries as a sort of birthright in their pursuit of happiness as Americans. And if they can't get them for themselves, they expect other people to provide them for them. And as to the thankfulness of our country, it is a sad commentary that a day such as this, a Thanksgiving Day, had to be mandated by presidential proclamation to remind our citizens to give thanks to God for all of their blessings, to give them even a day off from work and from school for the specific purpose of urging them into their respective houses of worship for services of thanksgiving. And yet, as we well know and can well see, in spite of that generous opportunity, it is turkeys that are being stuffed today and not churches. This is not really Thanksgiving Day anymore. It's Turkey Day, as we hear it commonly referred to on the radio and on television and throughout the social media every single day this week. Even we Christians, in spite of our presence here today in the house of God, have nothing to boast of concerning our exemplary gratitude to the Lord for all of his blessings to us day by day. You see, our old sinful flesh is just as ungrateful as that of the worldlings round about us. So that we need to be reminded again and over again by God himself in his holy word, how much we owe him for his grace and mercy to us poor and undeserving wretched sinners. For all of his benefits, both temporal and above all spiritual, which he showers down upon us in such great abundance. And therefore, the Apostle Paul in our text brings us that very reminder as he exclaims in our text, "Thanks be unto God." Thanks not only for his temporal blessings, which we can easily list if we only take a moment to think about them, and which we can easily talk about if we just take the time, but particularly for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his only begotten Son to be our Savior, and for all of the spiritual blessings which we have in and through him by faith. Because of the old man or sinful flesh within us, the willing ally of the devil, who seeks night and day to undermine and to destroy our new man of faith, we by nature, as I just mentioned, are just as ungrateful and inappreciative as are the children of this world. Thus, we too often take even our temporal or earthly blessings for granted, credit ourselves and our hard work for our successes, and smugly pat ourselves on the back for bonuses earned, for deals consummated, for promotions gained, and money made. And if you think that that's an overstatement, just ask yourself, when was the last time you got an increase in your pay and went into the boss and told him, "I really don't deserve this"? To God alone the glory. He it is who made this possible. When we get a letter of commendation placed into our personnel file, when we are evaluated on our job, and it's a positive, glowing letter, do we go into our superior and say, "I really don't deserve this"? To God alone the glory. It is He who made this possible, and not I myself. And yet, isn't that the self-reliant and self-sufficient, prideful attitude of the unbeliever? Who, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, says in boastfulness of himself, "My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Or, as people would say today, that is, after all, the American way, isn't it? To be a self-made man. That is indeed the attitude of the unbelievers, beloved hearers. And not one to be copied or emulated by any true Christian. It is the evidence and evil fruit of sinful pride, which, when it makes its ugly appearance in our lives, must be crushed within us by true contrition and sincere repentance, and thenceforth consciously suppressed in our lives, lest it gain the upper hand and we lose our faith altogether. Nay, rather, we Christians should humbly and gratefully acknowledge with Luther in the first article of our creed, "I believe that God has given me my clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods, that He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life." Assuming, of course, that what we have is not ill-gotten gain, unlawfully acquired, contrary to God's will and contrary to the laws of our government. All that we have, as we sing in that wonderful little hymn of stewardship in our hymn book, all that we have is God's alone, which He has entrusted to us as to stewards or caretakers. Purely out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. Our temporal blessings, therefore, are not what is coming to us. They are not what we have earned and deserved, and they are not ours by natural right. But they are God's gifts. Even the ordinary things of everyday life, topics of everyday conversation, even among the heathen. They are God's gift. Jesus says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thanks be unto God, therefore, for these ordinary daily needs which he provides us, and for which we should be humbly and sincerely grateful. But my dear fellow Christians, those temporal blessings about which we worry so often, blessings for this present life about which we talk so often, we could call them God's speakable gift, are of little importance and consequence compared to his unspeakable gift, upon which our everlasting happiness depends, upon which our immortal souls hang for survival, and to which we must cling in humble, childlike confidence if we are to have the sure and certain expectation or anticipation, not just of a cushy life here in this world, but of life everlasting in heaven. That is the gift in particular concerning which the apostle speaks in our text when he exclaims, thanks be unto God. That is the gift which, even if we lacked all the temporal blessings which we enumerated just before, that is the gift that should gladden our hearts beyond human expression and make us truly grateful, truly happy, and truly blessed Christians, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of our lives here in this world. Now, just what is that unspeakable gift? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, that gift is Jesus Christ to be our Savior from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. A gift that is so wonderful that it defies description in human terms. All of our temporal blessings can be described as to quantity, as to size, as to price, as to utility, and even as to durability. And the degree to which each of those things is important to us also determines to a great extent how much we appreciate them. But God's unspeakable gift, the gift of his only begotten Son to be the substitute for wretched, miserable, and unworthy sinners under the indictment and curse of God's holy law, to buy them back for heaven when they were headed for hell, and to rescue them from the bondage of sin and slavery to the devil, that gift is unspeakably great and glorious. That gift is unspeakably undeserved by its intended recipients. And that gift is unspeakably precious in its benefits to them. Earthly temporal gifts and blessings usually carry a price tag in terms of mere money, dollars and cents. while the Apostle Peter tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Truly, unspeakably valuable. Normally, we give gifts to our friends and loved ones, not to our enemies. But while we were enemies, the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, Christ died for the ungodly. Unspeakably generous. Don't you think? In terms of earthly temporal debts, the right combination of credits, guarantees, and restructuring can actually buy a person financial freedom here in this world. But none of them, no human being, can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, the Bible says. Unspeakably precious. Earthly gifts last just so long, and they begin to get old, fall apart, or just plain wear out. But the gift of life in Christ Jesus is everlasting, unspeakably durable. Every facet of this gift of God is unspeakable. It defies human understanding, and it defies human language. And that is why only God is capable of such a gift. Therefore, says Paul in our text, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The real tragedy, of course, is that although this unspeakable gift was given to all mankind, sincerely intended for every sinner by God himself and given to all the world in Christ Jesus, yet the vast majority of people, in callous opposition to his universal will of grace that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth of this unspeakable gift, Christ Jesus their Savior, as we heard in the epistle lesson read before, the majority of the people will never have it for themselves. They simply refuse to acknowledge that this unspeakable gift is a gift of grace, unmerited by us, unmeritable by us who are poor, miserable, wretched, hopeless, and helpless sinners. They refuse to accept it by faith because they think that everything that they receive here in this life is received and earned by works. They stubbornly and persistently refuse and reject and resist the efforts of God's Holy Spirit to work in them the saving faith by means of the gospel. And they thanklessly spurn and arrogantly reject God's unspeakable gift of everlasting life because they're not interested in everlasting life hereafter. They want the good life right now. And thus they forfeit salvation in unbelief. What an unspeakable waste. For without the sure and certain hope of everlasting life, the temporal blessings that we have and the temporal blessings that also the unbelievers enjoy here in this life as daily bread, all of that is virtually meaningless. Their life is meaningless. Their future is hopeless. I was envious, wrote the psalmist Asaph, Psalm 73. I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. No wonder the children of this world miss the whole point of Thanksgiving. They're not truly grateful for any of God's gifts because they reject His greatest gift of all, His unspeakable gift of love to all the world. They won't come into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise because they despise God's grace. They reject their Savior and they close their ears to His holy word, which convicts them of their helplessness and hopelessness before God and declares to them the gospel of God's full and free forgiveness to all the world for Jesus' sake. They are ungrateful for the justification and for the reconciliation that our Savior Jesus Christ purchased and won for us and for all mankind by His perfect satisfaction of divine justice in our place. Who is the propitiation, the complete satisfaction for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world? From such callous ingratitude and unbelief, graciously preserve us, dear Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. Let us rather grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in His precious and priceless word, so that we learn ever better day by day what great things God has done for us and for our salvation. And show forth our gratitude in songs of praise and thanksgiving, as well as in works of love and thanksgiving to Him who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, who with Him, that is in and through our blessed Savior, will also freely give us all things. Yea, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus and gratitude for our salvation unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Thanks we give and adoration for thy gospel's joyful sound. May the truths of thyself, may the fruits of thy salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever grateful, ever faithful to thy truth, may we be found. Amen. Let us now turn in our hymnals to page 35 in the front and sing together the canticle called the Te Deum Laudamus, We Praise Thee, O God.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us as our trust is in thee. O Lord, in thee have I trusted. Let me never be confounded.
O Almighty, eternal and most merciful Father, the giver of every good and perfect gift, we give thee thanks for blessing us so richly with thy precious word in its truth and purity, and the holy sacraments as instituted by thy Son, our Savior, and for supplying all our daily necessities and even many luxuries, so that we have not lacked any truly good thing. For all these bounties, we give thanks to thee and glorify thy holy name. We acknowledge and confess before thee that we are not worthy of the least of all thy mercies. For by reason of our transgressions, thou mightest justly grow weary of doing us good. But we are heartily sorry for our disobedience, ingratitude, and abuse of thy gifts, and do earnestly repent of all our sins. And we beseech thee for the sake and in the name of thy dear Son, our only mediator, deal with us not according to our unworthiness, but according to thine infinite mercy in Jesus Christ, the perfect propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Take not away from us thy holy word, the spiritual manna for the nourishment and strengthening of our souls. Preserve us and our children from all error and unbelief. And grant us, moreover, at all times food for our bodies and the means needful for our well-being here in this present world, that we may have to give to him that needeth. We pray thee also for grace so to receive thy gracious benefits, that they may be sanctified to our use. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content, committing all our ways to thee. If riches increase, let us not set our hearts upon them. And defend us from covetousness and all anxious cares of this life, and from abusing and dishonoring thy bounties by worldliness and vanity and the pleasures of sin, lest thy name be blasphemed through us. May we employ thy gifts for thy glory, for the support of thy kingdom, and for the relief of dear brethren in need, and for the necessities of life. Remember, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, all thy believing children in the world, and bless them with all sufficiency in all things, that they may abound to every good work. Those who are in sickness, in want, or in any other adversity, help and comfort in their trials. And in thine own good time, work all things for good to them that love thee, to them who are the called according to thy gracious purpose. To thy fatherly keeping and protection, we commend especially our precious brethren in the faith, the dear sheep and lambs of thy flocks in Nigeria and Russia, together with their faithful pastors whom thou hast placed over them. Gird them with thy might and strengthen them to stand fast against the wiles of the devil, the world, and their sinful flesh, as well as the fearsome onslaughts of lawless militants and anarchists who threaten their lives and safety every day, as well as the discrimination of godless governments which seek to restrain and hinder the free course of the gospel in their midst. Grant that nurtured and preserved in the one true and saving faith by the effectual working of thy Spirit through the gospel proclaimed in its purity and the sacraments rightly administered among them, they may earnestly contend for the faith, place their confidence alone in thee, and remain steadfast and unmovable even unto the end. Let thy fatherly protection be over us. Keep our hearts from sin, our eyes from tears, and our souls from death. Enable us to pass the time of our sojourning here in thy fear, abounding in the fruits of faith and rejoicing to do thy will, that in singleness of heart we may always be dead unto sin, but alive unto righteousness, loving not the world, but thee and thy matchless grace. And setting our affection on things above, help us to look forward in confident anticipation to the crown of glory that fadeth not away, reserved even now for us in the heavens. Hear us, O most merciful, gracious, and bounteous God, in these our humble requests and grateful praises, which we offer up unto thee in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our one and only advocate with thee, thine unspeakably great and glorious gift, for whose sake thou art pleased to hear and to answer our effectual fervent prayers. Into thy hands we commend ourselves for Jesus' sake, who is able to do for us exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, have mercy upon us for his sake. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, whose mercies are new unto us every morning, whose faithfulness never faileth, and who, though we have in no wise deserved thy goodness, thus abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. Give us, we pray thee, thy Holy Spirit, in and through thy precious word, that we may heartily and gratefully acknowledge thy merciful goodness toward us, give thee thanks for all thy benefits, and serve thee in willing obedience as the fruit and evidence of our confidence in the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord and only Savior, for whose sake thy mercy endureth forever, and who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.